Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. If you'll follow along, I'll just read it for you. Typically, my preaching, I don't know if I were to describe it, if I had to summarize my style of preaching, I would just say it this way. My preaching is typically very simple, simplistic. Occasionally, I might go deep into the Word, right? But for the most part, it's very simple. However, just saying that this morning, I do believe, even though it may be a simple message, it's a very important truth, very important message, and I hope you'll grab it today. I hope you'll take it to heart. More importantly, I hope you'll put it into practice. And I want to talk to you today on this topic, your ministry. Your ministry. We begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 5. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, we read all that in-between part. If I were to really point out the text for the message, it's really verse 1 and verse 5. I'll read verse 1 again. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. If you were to look in the Bible dictionary, the word followers, it's this: imitators. Imitators of God. And then verse 8 is also, we could point to this verse. As one of the text verse, it says, the second half of the verse, "But now are ye light in the Lord," and then he gives this admonition, "walk as children of light." Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word this morning and to glean from its pages. We pray that you'll help us. I pray that you'll give me the mind of Christ now as I begin the message. Help me to focus, to remember all of the things that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that it'll make good sense to the congregation, that we'll understand the importance of what we're saying and apply it to our lives. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here in the Bible that Paul, the author of the book of Ephesians, admonishes the Ephesian church to be imitators. He uses the word followers, but to be imitators of God. He also tells them in verse 8 to walk as children of light. Now hold your place there and look at 1 John chapter 2. Just want to share a couple of the passages to kind of set the groundwork before we move on. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. "He that saith he abideth in him," that him being Christ, "ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Okay, I think that verse is fairly clear. It's just saying, look, if you say that you're in Christ, then you, as a believer, ought then to walk as Christ walked. Again, it's the idea of imitation, isn't it? We could rephrase it by saying, look, if you say you're a Christian, then imitate the one you say you believe in, Jesus Christ. Then one other passage, Romans 8. This will be the last one we turn to, at least for now. Romans 8 and verse number 29. Romans 8, verse 29. This would be a familiar passage, I would think, to most. It says, "For whom he," of course, again, would be God or Christ, "he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be," look at this phrase now, "conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren." So we'll pull that phrase out, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So I think it goes without saying here that the Bible tells us that one of the main goals of the Christian life, and boy, I guess we could go all kinds of direction if we say, if we took a poll and just went around the room and asked every Christian in here, hey, what would you think is really the goal of the Christian life? We'd get all kinds of answers, and they wouldn't be wrong answers. Well, we ought to love one another. Well, yeah. Jesus said, look, the world's going to know that you're my followers when they see you loving one another. Some may say, well, that we just walk in the light. Someone else might say that we be, according to our text today, that we be conformed to the image of Christ. And that would be my personal choice if someone were to ask me, hey, what is the goal of the Christian life? What's one of the big things that we're trying to do here? What is God's purpose in our life? I would probably say this answer, that we are to be becoming like Christ. We are to live and behave ourselves like Christ. We are to be like Him. Amen? Now, as I thought of that thought, and we won't take time to do this because I was going to have you go through Scripture with me, but we'll just think of some together. What if we went through the Bible and saw some of the things that Jesus did would say, well, if I'm going to be like Christ, I have to go to Scripture and find out what He did and how He was and how He lived and how He walked. We would go to Scripture and see that in John chapter 2, for instance, He turned the water into wine at that marriage feast. I can't do that, Brother Cole. I can't turn the water into wine. I could come to chapter 3 and see His interaction with Nicodemus. I could come to chapter 4 and see His interaction with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And as we go through Scripture, we could see all the things that Jesus did. He healed blind people. He gave hearing back to the deaf. He even made the lame to walk, and whoa, He even raised the dead. And as I think about myself wanting to be like Jesus, I say, wait a minute, I cannot do the miracles that He performed. How could I be like Him? Well, listen, there is an aspect of Christ's life that we can imitate, and that's His character. His character. No, we cannot do the miracles, obviously. But there are things from the life of Christ that we can look at and try to imitate, and that would be His character. And again, if we went through Scripture and looked at so many things that He did, so many stories in the Gospels alone about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the things that He did, why many of those things we cannot do. But we can, listen now, we can imitate His character. I think it's clear from Scripture by our opening passages, Ephesians chapter 5, 1 John chapter 2, Romans chapter 8, and there's others we could look at. I think it's very clear that God wants us to be conformed into the image of His dear Son, Jesus. Would you agree with that? Say amen. That's the goal. We're to be like Jesus. And again, I can't be like Him when it comes to miracles. I can't feed the 5,000 like He did or the 4,000. Lots of things I cannot do like Jesus, but there are those things I can do like Him. I can exemplify His character. Now, here is the message in a sentence. If you got this one sentence, this probably is the whole message. I'll obviously elaborate on it, but here is the message. So listen carefully. The ministry of Christ was to those who were in front of Him at any given moment. That was the ministry of Christ. As we mentioned those stories, and if we took time to go through the Gospels and saw Jesus at the wedding, or we saw Him with Nicodemus or the Samaritan woman, or we saw Him at the feeding of the 5,000, or we saw Him in the boat with the disciples, or we saw Him with Jairus' daughter, or on and on we could go, all the stories we know about the Lord, it really boils down to this. As He traveled, as He walked, as He went from place to place, He was always ministering to those folks who were around Him at that given point in time. Follow me? His ministry was to those who was in front of Him at that point in time. We too can minister like that. The message today is your ministry my ministry, but and mine, but yours. You know, each of you sitting here this morning, myself included, you may not be in full-time Christian service, but you are in full-time Christian service. Shake your head like this. Now, state after me, I am in full-time service. I am in full-time service. You are. Yeah, and God wants us to be a light in this world. And He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to imitate, be imitators of Him. And though we can't imitate His miracles, we can imitate His character. And we can certainly minister to those who are in front of us at any given time. Look with me at Acts chapter 10, one more place here. And I don't think I'll have you turning a whole lot, but Acts chapter 10, this might be the last one we look at together, but Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is a great verse about our Lord. Acts 10, 38. Speaking of Jesus, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now look at the narration here about him. Who went about, that's Jesus, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But I want you to focus on this part. Who went about doing good, for God was with him. Yes, Jesus did the miracle. Yes, He did things that you and I will never do. But we can, like Jesus, go about doing good, bringing light, and God can be with us just like He was with Jesus. And that can be our ministry. Now, as we think about that thought, I want to give you just a few things here. Okay, so, Brother Kelly, you're saying that we can be like Jesus, imitators, try to copy Him in this ministry, and have our own ministry, yes. How do we do that? These are the things I want to share with you, just a few. You can have a ministry like Jesus, minus the miracles, right? You can have a ministry like Jesus. Were you all sleeping this morning? I didn't hear any laughter anywhere yet. Wake up. Here we go. Number one. Oh, wow. Number one, I just said it too. Wake up. Wake up. Let's go to Romans. I lied. We are going to turn some verses here. Romans 13. Romans 13. You like that, Ronnie? Romans 13, verse number 11. I want to have a ministry like my Lord. No, I can't break bread and fishes and feed a lot of people. I can't do that. I can't heal anybody, but I can be like Him in some ways. But chapter 13 of Romans, verse 11 says this, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And I want to use that phrase there. Now is high time to awake out of sleep. Christians, wake up! Wake up! Wake up! I believe with all my heart that the modern church is fully asleep. We are asleep. Now listen. Please don't get mad at Brother Kelly, but I just have to preach it as it is, right? And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm just saying this. The church, the modern church, is asleep. And Satan couldn't be happier. Because, I mean, we come here, we're trying to get the job done. We're trying to poke a hole in the darkness. But on the large scale, the church of Jesus Christ is asleep. And it needs to be awakened. And I'm talking to individual Christians this morning to wake up, 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 wake up! God says, look, it's time to wake up. We're asleep. We're not aware of what's going on around us. We must wake up. What do you mean wake up? Look, as a Christian, it is so easy to relapse into a stupor and to get complacent and to get relaxed and to let our guard down and to give Satan a little bit of headway and to say, well, I've been fighting long enough. I don't want to fight anymore. Look, preacher and I have been fighting for 36 years and others in this room longer, but we can't stop fighting. We can't give ground to the devil. We can't gain some ground and fight for many years and say, oh, you know what, I'm so tired now, I think I'll stop fighting, and then give all that ground that we gained back to Satan. No, we have to take our stand. We have to continue to fight. We cannot let our guard down. We can't go to sleep. We have to fight. We have to wake up. We have to shake ourselves. Good night. We're in a battle here. Good night. It's not a recreation room, brother. It's a battlefield. I'm in a real war here. Satan is warring for my... He can't take my soul, but he can stop me from being effective. If you're born again this morning by the blood of Jesus Christ, praise God for that. You'll never see hell, but Satan will try to stupor you. He'll try to lull you to sleep. He'll try to get you not to care about those out there and around us. He'll try to get you to get lethargic and comfortable and complacent. Can somebody say amen? Do you see what I'm saying? We got to wake up, folks. We must wake up. And when Jesus ministered, we're talking this morning about your ministry. And when Jesus walked this earth, He had a ministry. You can have a ministry like that. But listen, He was fully aware of who was around Him, and He was engaged. And that's what we need to do. We must wake up and be engaged. Look, I'm tired. I stay tired. But I can't give it to the devil. We have to wake up and not allow ourselves to slip into a lethargic stupor as Satan gains ground around us. Every day, thousands of people plunge into a burning hell. Every day, people are all around us are carrying burdens and struggles, and they just need someone to care. Jesus put you across the path of people that you can encourage, and that is your ministry. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up. The church is asleep. The Christians are lethargic. They're in a stupor. They hear the preacher say what every week the preacher preaches what to do, how we should do it, but we walk out unchanged. We walk out with no burden. We walk out the same as we came in. God help us. Wake up. Wake up. Matthew 5:16 tells us to let our light shine. Not to hide it under the bushel, but to let it shine. That ought to be our song, Brother Cole. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's your ministry. Don't take your Christian light and put it under a bushel basket and hide it. Let it shine. Jesus called us as lights in a dark world, and we must let our light shine. Don't hide it. You know, I know. Sometimes we go out to the workplace, we don't want them to know we're Christians. What will they think? What will they say? They'll call me a Bible thumper. They'll call me, you know, that guy over there, he's Christian. And all that. And I know that that's uncomfortable and that can hurt. And that's, it's no fun. But you know what? We need to be that light in this world. We need to be the salt and the light in this wicked world. And so we need to wake up. We need to wake up and understand where we are and what's going on around us. Number two, not only should we wake up, let's go to John 4. We'll see the next one that I want to share with you. John chapter 4. Everybody following along okay so far? Say amen. All right, very good. Let's keep it moving here. John chapter 4, verse 35. John 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So number two, not only should we wake up, Christian, wake up. Number two, this may sound the same, but it's not, open your eyes. Open your eyes. You know, here, you get this? Here we are, we're standing. You know, Jesus tells him, look, just look up. And there's those fields white unto harvest. They're standing like almost in it. When you go to the, when you go to your workplace, when you go down to Giant Eagle, or as we like to call it, Giant Turkey, when you go down to get your oil change, when you go to the bank, you know what? You are standing smack dab in the middle of the harvest. Open your eyes, Brother Joe. Open your eyes. The person standing right next to you. The person that's cashing your check. The person who's wringing out your groceries. The person who's crawled up under there and changing your oil. That is the harvest. Open your eyes. Look, we are so programmed. This world has programmed us to be all about me, Brother Cole. If we're not careful, we fall into that trap. The whole world system is for you to make it about you. What you should wear, what kind of car you should drive, what you should eat, the kind of pop you should drink, or the coffee, or Just name it. Everything is geared to make you make it all about you. And you know what? It's not about you. It needs to be about Him, number one, and it needs to be about those around us. We need to wake up and we need to open our eyes. Now, those sound the same, but I think it's different. Because it's possible to be awake, but you're just not tuned in. We need to open our eyeballs. Jesus said, look, guys, this harvest is ready. Just look up, lift your eyes, and look. Open your eyes and look. Later he told them, pray the Lord of the harvest, because, man, oh man, he said, there's so much to do, but the laborers are few. We need help. And we are those modern-day laborers. And so I plead with you this morning, look, this is a simple message. And I don't think there's any of us in this room that is exempt from what I'm saying. Friend, wake up. Wake up. Our Lord could come at any moment. Well, we've been saying that for 2,000 years. Yeah, I know. I know. But it doesn't change the truth. He could come at any moment. Any moment. I said any moment. And we ought to wake up each morning, look at that eastern sky and say, Lord, is it today? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Any moment, listen, we need to wake up. And secondly, we need to open our eyes. Open our eyes to what's going on around us. Look, it's not about me, though that's what the world would have me think. It's about Him. And it's about Him and me. It's about Him, but it's about me living like Him. And trying to imitate Him and trying to imitate His character and have the love and the compassion and the concern for those around Him that He did. And I can do that. I can imitate that. But I'm going to tell you, if I fall asleep and all I'm worried about is number one, and I go to sleep and I'm oblivious to this world around me, I'm oblivious to the work of missions across this world, this globe, and I close my eyes to the harvest that I'm standing in. I'm standing in the harvest. God, help me. You say, well, you know, you and Pastor, you're the preachers. You guys do that full time. No, you are too. You're supposed to have a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be being conformed to His image. That's not some kind of a magic thing. I know we'll be like Him when we see Him. Fully, yes, amen. But in the meantime, we are to be becoming like Him. How's that working for you? You have to do the things that's required to be like Him. And one of them is just to wake up to what's going on around you. Wake up that there's a real devil and he's trying to take as many with him as he can. And then open your eyes and realize, look, the harvest is all around me. I'm standing in the stinking field. Open your eyes. Are we making sense this morning? Can you raise your hand? Are we making sense? And I don't want to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean, but listen. Sometimes a preacher has to put it right in your face. They have to point their finger right in your bony face and say, look, get with the program. Get with the program. This isn't social club. We're trying to do a job here for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that saved you. Snatch your soul out of hell. Good night. He deserves our best. I think of that story when Jesus said, come on, let's go, guys, up here. It's nearly crucifixion time. Come with me. And he went down there and he prayed and he came back. And what were the disciples doing? Sleeping away. Wake up! Wake up! What's wrong with you guys? Good night. Wake up. Something important going on around here. Wake up and open your eyes. There's people all around you that are desperate for help. Desperate for help. You know what? Sometimes we have these, my wife and I have these discussions, I think preacher and I have. So what do you think? Are you an extrovert or an introvert? You know, we go down that line of thinking. And without a doubt, I think that I'm introvert. But you know what? I cannot let that be an excuse for not waking up and opening my eyes. And as we're going to see in a minute, another thing we need to do, I won't get ahead of myself, but I cannot use my personality as an excuse. Now, He gave me my personality. I am who I am. And most likely, I'm not going to change a whole lot. I try to change to conform to the Bible, and I try to change to conform to be more like Him. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. But my personality pretty much has said I am who I am. What's that clock say? Oh, wow. Okay. Amen. I can't use that as an excuse. And I have. But I shouldn't. And I can't. Go to Philippians 2:5. We need to move on. Philippians 2:5. Very familiar passage. This is our next point. I've got 5 points. I don't usually like having so many, but they're pretty simple. I guess as a preacher, 3 is always the magic number, but we got 5 and I won't be long. Number 3. So we said, what's number 1? Can you tell me? Anybody remember what's number 1? Wake up. Wake up. Whatever that means to you, friend, wake up. This isn't game time. As I started to say, this is not social club. This isn't the VFW. This isn't the Rotary. This isn't whatever you want, the Moose Lodge. This is church, the church of Jesus Christ, and we are on mission. Wake up. Secondly, what's the second one? Open your eyes, nice and wide. You are standing in the middle of the harvest. It's all around you. Number 3. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Very simple. Let this mind be in you. Number 3, have the mind of Christ. Now that's a good one. Why? If I'm trying to be like Him, then I should learn to think like Him. And I see my Lord in Scripture. I see my Lord going about, as we saw from Acts 10. I see Him going about, Miss Erica, doing good. I know it says He healed the sick and all that stuff, and we can't do that part, but we can do the good. We can love like He loved. We can have compassion like He had compassion. We can have concern and care like He had concern and care, right? We can say an encouraging word. We can teach doctrine and truth. We can share things with people. We can help people. We can point them in the right direction. All those things my Lord did, and I can do those things too. And so ought you. Boy, it's all about us. We get up tomorrow morning, we're going to get up. The alarm's going to wake us up, and we're going to start doing the things we always do. And I understand that. We have to. We got a routine. Most of you are going to have to go to work in the morning. My alarm will go off at 4:30 tomorrow morning, and I'm going to go to work. But listen, I'm not going to just wake up by the alarm. I need to wake up more than that and realize that I'm going to leave my house and go out into the mission field. My work, wherever I go throughout the day, that's the harvest field. That's the harvest, and it's white unto harvest. It is so ready, it's not even funny. And we're in the middle of it. But number three, I have to have the mind of Christ. I have to be thinking. And that's where the challenge comes, because we go to work and we have to think about these numbers, or we have to think about driving this truck, or we have to think about putting this needle in this person's arm and make sure we try to find the vein and don't make a pincushion out of them. And we got to do all the... And yes, that consumes our mind. I understand that. But look, we have to be somehow in the back of our mind thinking, but as I'm driving this truck, or I'm sticking this needle, or I'm turning this wrench, or whatever it is you do, I must be thinking like Jesus, and the people around me realize that they're the harvest, and I must help them in some way, no matter how small it might be. We have to have the mind of Christ. Let me move on to number four. Number four, I don't necessarily have a text for, but I just want you to think of this. Number four is this: realize everyone struggles with something. Everyone struggles with something. Every person in this room this morning, if I could go around this point at each of you, you have your unique struggle. It might be a marriage struggle, it might be a financial struggle, it might be an employment struggle, it might be a health struggle. Whatever, we all have struggles, am I right? Sure we do. And as we view this harvest, we must understand that, because, you know, I hope Caleb doesn't mind me saying this. Caleb asked me this week, he says, "Dad, is it wrong to wish that someone in school would leave the school?" I was like, "Well, I know where you're coming from, but..." I said, "You know, Caleb," I said, "just remember this. That person, whoever it is, that person is acting the way they're acting because there's something going on. There's an issue. It's in the home or whatever. There's a problem." And I really find that to be true. You know, we have our ideal of how someone should act. We want them to cross their T's the way we do. We want them to dot their I's just like we do, and if they're not, then they're out, they're not fit in. But you know what? There's folks that may irritate us. There's folks that rub us the wrong way, you know, rub the fur the wrong way and all that. But there's a reason that. Usually there's a reason for that. Now sometimes they're just a knothead. there are occasional knotheads out there. But I find most cases, people are struggling in some way, and it affects them and it comes out in poor behavior. So just remember that, okay? As you wake up and as you look at the harvest around you and those you encounter, realize that, look, I am in the harvest, and these people around me are, it is part of the harvest, and realize that, hey, they might not be acting the way I think they should act, but there's probably something going on. There's probably a reason for that. There's probably a problem that they need help with. Many times it's simply salvation. If they'd just get saved, that'd be a huge help. What are we talking about today? We're talking about your ministry. I see you looking at the person next to you. No, I'm talking to you. I know you're thinking, he's talking to the preacher, right? Yeah, but I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. Look, it's your ministry. You follow me? Your ministry. You have a ministry in this world. We need to move on. Give me the last one here. Number five, and finally, Acts chapter 4. So turn this one last passage. I can't believe how fast that clock has moved on. But we're okay. We're definitely okay. We'll be done just on time. Just means I can't have fun like I might want to. Acts chapter 4, let's go to verse 20, and I'll tell you the last one. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. This is a great verse. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Number 5, open your mouth. Amen? Open your mouth. Say something. We open our eyes. Oh no, first we wake up. We come to the realization, wait a minute, there's more to life than I graduate from high school, I get a job, maybe go to college, but get a job, and then all my years I work, and then I retire, and then I bum around for retirement years, and then I die, and that's the end of it. Listen, folks, there's way, way, way more than that to life. God has a ministry for you, and we need to be doing it. Let's just hold on a second until Ronnie moves out. Thanks, Brother Doug. Usually preachers don't like to preach like this. Some enjoy it, but because I kind of feel like I'm beating up on you. And maybe I am. But I'll go back to what I said. I believe that the church, you mean our church, preacher? Maybe. The church is asleep. And Satan is just having his way. We better wake up. Hey, we need revival. God's people need to be revived. We better open our eyes to those around us. And we better realize that we should be thinking like Jesus thinks because he cared about people. And we better realize that we better have his mind because if we think like him, we'll do like him. And now it's just simply opening our mouth. Now all these things I just said, in my personal little sphere of my little world, there's no one, and I hope they don't mind me saying this, and am I bragging on them? Well, yeah, I guess in a way I am, but I just, when I was preparing this message, I thought, you know what? My wife fits this thing right here. She goes about bringing light wherever she goes. I'll just brag on her for a second and move on. But she brings light. She influences women. There's about 5 women right now, 5 or 6, that she's has an influence on, a great influence, none of which I don't think are saved. But she just, they know where she stands. They know she's a Christian. She talks openly about God. Now they're starting to use the word God, not in a bad way either, in a good way. And my wife will tell them, look, something goes wrong, my wife will say, look, God has a purpose for that. And she just talks to them almost like they're a believer, but they're not, may not be. And I believe that eventually they'll get saved. She's influencing them. She's pointing them to Jesus. She has a word of encouragement. She tries to let her light shine. She tries to just help the best she can and say good things to them. And she's always, and that's what we need to do. Jesus was always, he always opened his mouth and let the truth come out. And we need to do the same. I talked earlier about people who are struggling. Everybody has a struggle. Can you say something kind to them? Say something that will encourage them. Point them to Jesus. Even if they're not saved, talk about Jesus and point them that direction. You never know what might happen. Sometimes, I understand, been a soul winner all these years, I understand. Sometimes you need to point blank confrontational soul winning and just give it to them. There's other times where it takes some time and you got to work with them and just be a light in their presence. Now we're about out of time, so I'm going to have to stop there, but listen. Have some good words to say to people. just open your mouth. Well, I don't know what to say. You don't have to say, look, if you died today, 100% sure you go to heaven. Sometimes we should say that. There are times. Other times we just need to give a word of encouragement. Sometimes we need to say, could I pray with you? Or I'm going to be praying about that. Deborah uses that a lot with these ladies that she's involved with. I'll be praying about that. And we can see the impact. And things are starting to happen. But listen, I'm talking to you this morning about your ministry. Yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours, 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 yours. All of you and me. All of us. We have a personal ministry. Oh, you mean teaching a Sunday school class? No. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to get up here and preach? No. Oh, you mean you need me to go on the bus? Yes. I mean, no. We could use some help, but no. I'm talking about your ministry in that harvest field. So wake up. Wake up. Open your eyes. Realize, okay, the time's growing near. You know what hits me personally? I'm 61 years old. I'm like, if everything happens the way I want it to happen, I might have, 20 more years? Or I'm trying to think about it. Wow, I can't believe I'm here already, 61. I want my final years to count for Christ. But if I go to sleep now, no, it won't happen. I have to remain awake, engaged, open my eyes to see the harvest field. And I have to be thinking like Jesus thinks. And I have to realize people have struggles. And I have to realize I need to open my mouth. Because ministry and mouth go together. You have to say things to people to help them, encourage them, point them to Jesus, etc.